Good morning. The House will come to order. Please stand if you're able. Our flag salute this morning will be led by Representative Bruin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Our opening ceremonies this morning will be presented by Representative Sal Esquivel.
Thank you, colleagues. I read this poem. I'm going to do a poem for you today. And I read this poem when I was in Vietnam, and it really has stuck with me a number of years. It's Abu Ben Adam, may his tribe increase, awoke one night from a deep dream of peace and saw within the moonlight of his room, making it rich like a lily in bloom, an angel writing in a book of gold. Exceeding peace had made Abu Ben Adam bold. And to the presence in his room he said, "What writest thou?" The vision raised its head, and with the look of all sweet accord answered, "The names of those who love the Lord." "And is mine one?" said Abu. "Nay, not so," replied the angel. Abu spoke more low, but cheerfully still, "I pray thee then, write me as one who loves his fellow men." The angel wrote and vanished. The next night it came again with awakening light and showed the names of whom love of God had blessed. And lo and behold, Ben Adam's name led all the rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Esquivel. Courtesies are Oregon Sesquicentennial History Minute. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today's History Minute is adapted from an entry in the Oregon Encyclopedia written by Vincent Wixon of Ashland, Lawson Fusau Inada. He is a poet, writer, and educator. He is an emeritus professor of English at Southern Oregon University in Ashland. In February 2006, Governor Kulongoski appointed him Oregon's fifth poet laureate. Born in Fresno, California in 1938, Inada is a third-generation Japanese-American. In 1942, shortly after the United States entered World War II, Inada and his family were sent to internment camps with his parents and grandparents. After the war, the family returned to Fresno. Inada attended school in the city's multi-ethnic West Side neighborhood and took writing classes from poet Philip Levine at Fresno State University. In 1971, Inada's Before the War, Poems as They Happened was the first volume of poetry by an Asian American published by a major publishing house. By then, Inada had earned a Master of Fine Arts at the University of Oregon. He is the author of two other collections of poetry, Legends from Camp, written in 1992, which won the American Book Award, and Drawing the Line, which he wrote in 1997, which won an Oregon Book Award. The recipient of a Guggenheim Fellowship in 2004, Inada has served as Steinbeck Chair for the National Steinbeck Center and has been a judge for the National Book Award in Poetry. He is a teacher, a wonderful teacher. If you ever have a chance to take a class from him or hear him lecture, he is just fantastic, funny, and very brilliant. He is a community member, a husband, a father, a grandfather, and an artist. His readings and poems are pleasurable, instructive, and wise, and he has read some of his poetry in previous legislative sessions. Thank you, colleagues.
Further courtesies, Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, it's a pleasure to welcome my friend Ben Keller as an honorary page today. Ben is a seventh grader at Waluga Junior High School in my district, and he's involved with the band, the Meadows Ski Race Team, and the History Club. and he wants to be someday either a politician or a filmmaker. I know which I'd rather be. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Welcome, Ben.
Further courtesies, Representative Thompson.
Mr. Speaker, I have two honorary pages here today who appear to be related. Timothy King is 16 from Falls City. He's homeschooled. His activities interests are piano, choir, and shop. And Peter King is also 16 from Falls City. He's also homeschooled. His interests are music, choir, and shop. Please extend the courtesies to them today.
Representative Widener.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to extend courtesies to Morgan Drever. Morgan is 16. He's from McMinnville, goes to McMinnville High School. His father actually helped me out a bunch on getting here, and his interests, Morgan's interests, are track, cross country. He's on the National Honor Society, and he's interested in engineering. He would like to attend West Point for to become a civil engineer for his career goals. So if everybody could welcome Morgan, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Representative Weird.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please welcome Philip Wynn from my district. He's an honorary page today. Philip is from Tigard and attends Fowler Middle School. He's 13 and in grade 8. He's on student council in leadership, concert band, and social science. His career goals, folks, he wants to be governor. So put that on your list and keep an eye on him. Welcome, Philip.
Thanks to all our pages today. We appreciate your service to the House. Hope you enjoy your day today. Any further courtesies? The clerk will now open the voting system for purpose of verifying the presence of a quorum. Representative Boone.
Here she is.
Representative Boone is present. Representative Gelser. Representative Gelser. Off the floor, Representative Greg Smith. Representative Greg Smith, off the floor. Representative Jensen. Representative Jensen, off the floor. Greg Smith is present. Excuse Representative Gilliam. Excuse House Business. Representative Buckley. Representative Reed. All of the members are present. Message from the governor. Message from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed House Bills 5030, 5031, 2164, 2168, 2176, 2269, 2273, 2274, 2278, 2304, 2308, 2310, 2311, 2353, 2360, 2911, 2953, 2956. Adopted HJM 20. Passed the following House Bills as amended by the Senate. House Bill 2210, 2249, 2554, 2583. Concurred in House Amendments and repassed Senate Bills 106, 244, and 380. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed Senate Bills 50, 53, 60, 85, 89, 109, 110, 113, 114, 197, 212, 559, SCR 9, 11, SJM 2 and 12, SJR 39. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you to sign House Bill 2203.
First reading, memorials and resolutions. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. Representative Roblin.
Mr. Speaker, I move House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2085 and repass the bill.
Representative Roblin moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2085A and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 2085, the amendments, allows notary publics to charge up to $10 for notary acts. They have been charging $5. This does not actually cover the costs of the work that they do, and so this bill extends that to a maximum of $10. That was the only change they made in a bill that passed here. The new amended bill passed in the Senate 28-0 and 2 excused. So good bill should pass. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2085 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. House Bill 2085, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions, Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2086 and repass the bill.
Representative Roblin moves that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2086 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you. This amendment is one I wish we had thought about when we passed the bill originally. It basically allowed after 5 years of no activity that a corporation can be dissolved. The issue that they came up with is that if they could show good cause as to why they hadn't reapplied, the Secretary of State can waive that requirement and they can be reinstated, as opposed to you can't be reinstated after 5 years. So if the corporation shows good cause as to why they hadn't filed, the Secretary of State can waive that and let them refile. I think it's a good amendment and a good bill should pass. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2086 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2086A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Further propositions and motions, Representative Hanna.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In order to provide an opportunity to generate in excess of 6,000 jobs, I make a motion to withdraw House Bill 3095 from the House Committee on Sustainability and Economic Development.
Representative Hanna moves that House Bill 3095 be withdrawn from the Committee on Sustainability and Economic Development. As you'll recall in our House rules, immediately following a motion to withdraw a measure from committee, the clerk shall read the measure's number, title, and summary. The clerk will do so.
House Bill 3095, relating to capital improvements income tax credit, creates income tax credit for capital improvements to business facilities or homes that are commenced prior to later of September 1, 2009, or effective date of Act, limits amount each taxpayer may claim, establishes requirements for certification of capital improvements, applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2009, takes effect on the 91st day following adjournment, sine die.
As set forth in our House rules, a motion to withdraw a measure from committee is not debatable. So those who are of the opinion that House Bill 3095 should be withdrawn from the Committee on Sustainability and Economic Development will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. The motion to withdraw the measure from committee, not having received the required majority, is declared failed. Further propositions and motions? First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2941 relating to ballot titles and declaring an emergency.
Bill read for the second time is passed to the third reading calendar. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 225 relating to alcohol-related offenses by persons under 21 years of age requires court to issue notice to Department of Transportation for department to suspend license of person at least 13 years of age and less than 21 years of age when person is cited for attempting to purchasing, or acquiring alcoholic beverages.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 225A. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kenemer, how do you vote? Kenemer votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
Aye.
Gilliam votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 225A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 533, relating to shopping cart regulations, allows local governments to create separate provisions with greater penalties for retailers not complying with shopping cart regulations.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 533. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Gelser votes aye. Senate Bill 533, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 539, relating to exemptions from the insurance code, exempts from insurance code self-insurance program for tort liability and or property damage that is established by two or more affordable housing entities.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 539A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Springer votes aye. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Buckley votes aye. Senate Bill 539A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
Senate Bill 599, related to surface mining, modifies definition of surface mining.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 599B. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Buckley, how do you vote? Buckley votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Representative Gilliam votes aye. Senate Bill 599B, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The chair requests unanimous consent that House Bill 2370 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Thursday, May 21st, 2009's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 5052, related to state financial administration appropriating money and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5052A. Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 5052A adjusts general fund, lottery funds, and federal funds expenditure authority for a number of agencies for the current biennium. Colleagues, this is the 0709 rebalance bill. The bill implements the Department of Human Services rebalance plan, which shifts general funds and adds other and federal funds expenditure limitation to allow DHS to carry out its programs and operations for the rest of this biennium. DHS expects to finish the 2007-09 biennium within its current general fund budget, but will rely on $25 million in federal stimulus funds for its temporary assistance to needy families, TANF, and child care programs to cover increased costs. It will again need to take a short-term loan from the state treasury to cover other and federal funds cash flow issues at year end. Due to concerns about the new Medicaid Management Information System, or MMIS, a budget note directs DHS to report back on the MMIS system in the fall of 2009. The bill adds other and federal funds expenditure authority in the Department of Education, Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development, Oregon Military Department, Employment Department, Housing and Community Services Department, Department of Transportation, and the State Board of Pharmacy. Most of these increases reflect federal stimulus funds agencies have received for their programs. Finally, the bill disappropriates general fund and reduces lottery funds and selected other funds for savings generated from current biennium salary freeze, furloughs, and reductions of pay range steps for management and executive service employees. These savings were anticipated as part of the legislature's statewide rebalance plan for this biennium.
The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5052A.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Kotek, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote?
Aye.
Kotek votes aye. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Galizio votes aye. Representative Springer votes aye. House Bill 5052A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2667, relating to elections.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2667A. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this is a bill you probably know it arose from an incident in my district where a candidate went through quite a long period of time and spent a lot of money before finding out he wasn't eligible to run. I would think that's an unacceptable situation, and we need to fix that. This bill requires the Secretary of State to ensure that anyone who files for state representative or state senator live in the district where they file. They'll do this by when we do the redistricting, anyone whose property is within 100 yards of the district boundary will be coded so that if they file for election, it's easy to spot that they're close to the district boundary, and it can be verified which district they're in. It's a good bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Riley does not wish to close. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. House Bill 2667A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent that House Bill 2749 be taken from today's calendar and placed in its proper place on Thursday, May 21st, 2009's third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 3254, relating to special districts and prescribing an effective date.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3254. Representative and Dean of the House from Pendleton, Bob Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and having jogged all the way from the front of the chamber back here, I'm now out of breath. This is such a good bill. It just takes your breath away from you anyway. So we would encourage your yes vote on this bill. Be happy to answer any questions.
Is there further discussion? You took everyone else's breath away as well, Representative. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Comp, how do you vote? Comp votes aye. Representative Olson, how do you vote? Olson votes aye. Representative Kotek votes aye. House Bill 3254, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The clerk will read the resolution.
H.R. 7, proposing amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to eligibility to receive loan from Oregon War Veterans Fund.
The question now rises upon final reading and adoption of H.J.R. 7A. Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. H.J.R. 7 provides us an opportunity and provides the electorate an opportunity to align the Oregon Veterans Home Loan Program with the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs lifetime benefit for home loans. It is, quite simply, the right thing to do. This resolution comes to you from the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee after further examination in House rules. It proposes an amendment to the Oregon Constitution to remove the term war as it presently pertains to the Oregon War Veterans Fund, thus adhering to the principle that we've been talking about this session, that a veteran is a veteran is a veteran. It further broadens the pool of veterans who are eligible to benefit from the Oregon Home Loan Program by removing the 30-year limit on eligibility, which is becoming a growing problem for our Vietnam-era veterans. The ORVET Home Loan Program is well capitalized, and this expansion of eligibility will not only offer the opportunity to more veterans, but it will also continue to grow the base funding. I made mention of this resolution earlier in my presentation on House Bill 3470, which is necessary for the implementation of the measure once the constitutional change is approved by voters. I urge your complimentary passage of H.J.R. 7 to complete this package. And I'd also like to yield a bit of time to the good representative from the Emerald Empire so that he can share his story of how this particular issue came to his attention.
Further discussion, Representative Holvey. To the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution. Colleagues, I had a constituent contact me more than a year ago, a Vietnam vet, and had been in the reserves ever since that time. Quite a long time he's been providing service to our country. Yet when he recently went to the ODVA for a loan and other benefits, he was denied the benefits because he hadn't met a consecutive day requirement that is what was part of our Constitution and actually was not in line with the federal government's rules for benefits. He wanted somebody to go to bat for him, and as much as I tried to go to bat for him, he said, I don't need somebody just to refer me to the ODBA. I need some help. I need somebody to win this for me. This isn't right. I've served my country for almost 30 years, and I can't get this benefit. I thought this was a huge injustice, and upon looking into it, I found it needed a constitutional change to fix this so people that have served in the Vietnam War and some of our older veterans have the ability to claim a benefit that, in my mind, they truly deserve. All the days added up of his service far exceed many veterans who are eligible for these sorts of benefits. I think it's high time that we refer this to the voters to change it to the Constitution, which is the only way we can fix this. And hopefully the voters will see it the way this body hopefully will see it, that it's time to treat veterans like they should be treated. I appreciate your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues,
to the resolution.
This resolution presents us a great opportunity. People who have served, the home loan plan is very great. It helps people get started in life. It helped me. I was able to get a 4% loan when I first bought my first home back in 1971. And then after 30 years, you're no longer eligible to draw it. Now's the time, and will be for all veterans, a time in life when you're ready to downsize. This will keep the program alive. People at my age now are probably in a better financial state than I was when I got my first loan. So we'll keep the program solid, keep it building, and it will help the economy as realtors will be able to move these homes to the veterans. And it's a good plan for Oregon. I would appreciate your aye vote.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Cowan, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just urge this body to give our voters the opportunity to do what's right for all Oregon veterans. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. HJR 7A, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the next resolution.
HJR 54, encouraging the state of Oregon to support establishment of statewide network of hospitals capable of performing percussionist coronary intervention to treat heart attacks.
The question now rises upon final reading and adoption of HJR 54. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And that was percutaneous coronary intervention. Thanks, Obi. House Joint Resolution 54, in a very small way, will help make Oregon the best state in the country to have a heart attack. We need the jobs. Now, this may sound odd, but in little old Josephine and Jackson counties, your chance of surviving a heart attack is about double that of most regions in the country. This is due to two reasons, cooperation and teamwork. An estimated 900,000 heart attacks occur in the United States every year, and heart disease remains the number one cause of death of Americans. The risk of additional complications following a heart attack include recurrent heart attacks, sudden death, heart failure, stroke, angina pectoris, disability, and lost wages. This combined toll for survivors is substantial and consequently strains families, emotions, employment, and health care resources. In Oregon, we can anticipate 12,000 acute heart attacks in this year alone. A heart attack occurs when a blood clot suddenly forms and stops blood flow in an artery half the size of a pencil eraser. The response is immediate and often intense. Discomfort, shortness of breath, congestive heart failure, dangerous arrhythmias, and even death. In fact, one of every five heart attack patients die if no medical care is delivered. However, Oregon has a capability, as demonstrated in my home district, of reducing deaths to as few as 1 out of 25 patients when paramedics, emergency departments, interhospital transfers, heart cath labs, and cardiologists work in rapid, coordinated fashion to open those occluded heart arteries. The most effective treatment is emergent balloon stenting in a cath lab, but in some remote regions, blood clot dissolving medicines are favored for logistical reasons. When these therapies are delivered rapidly and effectively, the hospital stays are shorter, injury to the heart is minimized, recovery and return to work is hastened, and lives are clearly saved. The Oregon chapter of the American College of Cardiology, in collaboration with the American Heart Association, Oregon Emergency Medical Services, the Oregon Office of Rural Health, the Oregon chapter of the American College of Emergency Physicians, the Oregon State Ambulance Association, and hospitals throughout the state of Oregon are about to embark on a project to educate, coordinate, and solidify the regional resources and create regional networks enabling every heart attack victim in Oregon, regardless of residence, to be capable of receiving swift, synchronized, optimal heart attack care. This is not to say that hospitals in other regions around the state do not provide quality care. The passage of this resolution would demonstrate the state's commitment to this project, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Matthews.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank my good colleague from Josephine County for bringing this forward. I support the resolution, but I also want to say that we also got to recognize that there's a lot of great work that goes on the street prior to the hospitalization that's done by EMS providers out there, volunteer and professional. They are doing an incredible job with 12 lead systems, AEDs. There's several of those within your own jurisdictions. Maybe we'll look at those in some of the fitness facilities at some point. But again, a lot of this starts, and a lot of second chance at life starts with good CPR. So I just didn't want to miss an opportunity to remind us as colleagues that we should all be looking at ways to improve our ability to perform CPR on site and give our constituents and ourselves a second chance at life. So thank you again to the representative from Josephine County for bringing this forward, and thanks to all the EMS providers out there doing a great job on the street. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Maurer, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. HJR 54, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Representative Maurer, for what purpose are you in the queue?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request unanimous consent to return to the order of courtesies.
Representative Maurer requests unanimous consent to suspend the rules and return to the order of courtesies. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please direct your attention to the side aisle. If the gentleman could please stand up. I am pleased to introduce our guest from the Netherlands to the Capitol today. Mr. Paul Thewissen is the Health Affairs Officer of the Royal Netherlands Embassy, Washington, D.C. Dr. Marco van de Velde is the Head Office of Medical Cannabis in the Ministry of Health, Welfare, and Sport. Dr. Arno Hazekamp is a aspiring doctor, almost, from the Department of Plant Metabolics of Leiden University. Mr. Tilling Erkelens is the co-owner of Bedrican BV in the Netherlands. And Mr. Michael Sotman is the United States representative for Bedrican BV. This morning, they offered expert testimony regarding medical cannabis in the Netherlands to the House Human Services Committee. And today, colleagues, they will be available in room 167 from noon to 1 p.m. Please come by and greet them if you are able. Thank you, gentlemen.
Welcome to the House. Hope you enjoy your day. Further courtesies, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to welcome Grant Ammon here today. Grant's sitting with me here at my desk. Grant's a junior at Kennedy High School in Mount Angel in my district, and he's job shadowing me today. Please be nicer to him than you are to me. Welcome, Grant.
Any further courtesies while we're at this point? Bills, reports, and other business lie on the table. First reading of House bills. Excuse me. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 61, relating to exemption from lobbyist regulations. Senate Bill 125, relating to student traffic safety education courses and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 142, relating to professions regulated by the State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying. Senate Bill 143, relating to practice of engineering exemptions. Senate Bill 202, relating to construction contractors. Senate Bill 316, relating to clinical trials. Senate Bill 577, relating to certification of appeal to the Supreme Court and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 601, relating to investigation by the Oregon Board of Marine Pilots. Senate Bill 663, relating to vacancy in office of Director of Irrigation District. Senate Bill 689, relating to highways. Senate Bill 786, relating to unlawful religious discrimination employment practices. Senate Bill 916, relating to local government budgets.
I don't know what we're doing.
Bills read for the second time were passed to the third reading calendar. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 398 relating to equines.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 398A. Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Would include abandonment of horses within animal abandonment laws, unanimous in judiciary. Vote aye.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Smith, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Tomei votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative David Edwards, how do you vote? David Edwards votes aye. Representative Springer votes aye. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Representative Esquivel votes aye. Senate Bill 398A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 622, relating to geese and declaring an emergency.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 622A. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 622A comes from your House Committee on Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Rural Communities. The bill creates the Task Force on Geese Control to study issues raised by increasing numbers of various species of geese and make recommendations as to how to control geese population and its impacts. The conversation, that's basically what it does. The conversations were much broader than that, and we, as it says, it speaks in here too, on how to control the goose population, which quite frankly, members, is out of control. And the conversation expanded to how many of our mismanaged wildlife are out of control due to the mismanagement of this state government and the federal government. And it's time we get it in control. And I hold in my hand one of the things that prevents us from controlling or increasing the bag limit is these check stations we have to put up to comply with federal law because of some goose is endangered. Well, the question is, where does that money come from? I hold Mr. Ron Dobbin Farms' piece of paper here. They spent $90,000 last year fighting these geese off. $90,000 in destroyed crops, maintenance, labor, and material to fend off these geese. We need to increase the bag limit, not only on these animals, but other toothed and fanged animals that are destroying trees, attacking pets, and God knows what, running roughshod over the community. So it's a great bill. It's a first step in getting our natural resources in order, and I'm proud to carry it, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I can't believe we're doing another task force, especially something as simplistic as handling geese. It's a very simple formula. You have too many geese, you increase the harvest. Or you can addle the geese if they're local. This is not rocket science. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure it out. We have a game commission that's supposed to handle these things. Why we're creating a task force, I have no idea. But I will tell you one thing. We're talking about different kinds of geese that are protected. We have in here what they call the dusky, which is protected to a certain extent. You are allowed to harvest one a day. But what's interesting about that, colleagues, if you're east of I-5, there is no limit on them. But if you're west of I-5, you're allowed one a day. Now, the last time I checked, geese could not tell the difference between Interstate 5. But whatever. This is just, in my opinion, another waste of money and time and effort. I will support it, and I'll tell you why. Because if that's what we need to do to get the Game Commission off the dime, then that's what we need to do.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? Jeez.
This is dumb.
Hello. I know you're trying to get me to shut up, but briefly, Mr. Speaker, I couldn't agree more with my friend from Medford. We really don't need a task force on this. It's real easy math. Increase the bag limit, reduce these nuisances, and let the good farmers and ranchers of this state make money and pay taxes so we can provide for education, health care, and safety in this state. Educate, medicate, incarcerate the good people of the state. Good bill should pass our dry vote.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Senate Bill 622A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 631, relating to phosphate cleaning agents.
Yeah. Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 631A. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 631 comes to you with the unanimous support from the House Environment and Water Committee. Put simply, this bill will lower the amount of phosphorus entering Oregon's waterways. As some background, in 1991, Oregon passed legislation which banned selling detergents that contain more than 0.5% phosphorus. However, there was an exemption for dishwasher detergents which may contain 8.7% phosphorus. Senate Bill 631 reiterates that ban and simply narrows the exemption to commercial dishwashers and states that dishwasher detergents other than commercial dishwashers must be limited to 0.5% phosphorus. The Soap and Detergent Association requested changes to Senate Bill 631 that make it more in line with Washington State's legislation. Senate Bill 631 was amended to incorporate those suggested changes, and the Soap and Detergent Association now fully supports this bill. There was no testimony against the bill in committee, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Girard.
To the bill, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill.
Colleagues, somehow somebody in my district found out about this bill and circulated an email which triggered an avalanche of emails to my office here in Salem, all from very, very unhappy women in particular, and housewives who aren't particularly in favor of this bill. And I can say that almost unanimously based on the emails that I received. This is an intrusion into their kitchen, and they do not appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Wingard.
Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
I appreciate the good representative mentioning the experience in Washington State. Can you help the body understand some of what Washington went through in 2006 with their original ban and what adjustments they made to perhaps curtail the smuggling of detergent and that entire underground criminal activity that began to occur in Washington State? Have we really remedied that in our bill?
Mr. Speaker, Representative Wingard, had I known about the question beforehand, I might have been able to prepare some experiences from Washington with you, but given that there was no testimony in committee about the bill opposed to it or about the Washington experience, that's information I'll have to get to you later.
Follow-up?
Further questions? The carrier yield?
I do.
He does.
Did you not mention that there was an attempt to make this bill conform with Washington State's?
Mr. Speaker, Representative Winger, all of that discussion happened on the Senate side, and at the time that it was presented to the House, those changes had been made.
Representative Winger,
to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I have an AP story here that came out, it was this month, talking about the fact that people in Spokane, Washington are now driving across the border into Idaho to buy detergent to bring back and use in Spokane because they feel the detergent that is available in their state is no longer cleaning their dishes. God help us.
Further discussion, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I was rising to the statement that housewives across the state of Oregon oppose this bill in regards to their clean dishes. I will be sure tonight to check in with my husband to see what type of dishwashing detergent he uses when cleaning our dishes, and I hope that we are not forgetting the men in the state who wash dishes, as they all should. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Chris Edwards.
To the bill, to the Mr. bill. Speaker. I just want to say on behalf of husbands all across the state that do wash the dishes with phosphorus-free cleaning agents that it works just fine, and I support the bill.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
I say we get them housewives and house husbands out of that kitchen and start shooting some geese.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative Bailey, do you care to try and close that one?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's a hard one to close after that argument. Colleagues, I'll just be brief and say that Oregon would join a list of 12 other states that have done this. It's a reasonable piece of legislation that is supported by the industry. Again, we heard no testimony in opposition and no evidence that these types of detergents do any better or worse job at cleaning dishes, and I urge your aye vote.
Those of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barker, how do you vote? Barker votes aye. Senate Bill 631A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 83, relating to devices for playing state lottery games.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 83. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 83 corrects the inconsistency in statute with federal law regarding to transportation of gambling devices. Federal law prohibits transportation of gambling device unless the state has enacted an exemption. Current statute currently exempts video lottery terminals, but there is also a inconsistency in terms used in ORS Chapter 461, Oregon State Lottery, to describe the video lottery terminal, and federal law broadly use the term gambling device to include more than just video lottery game terminals. Senate Bill 83 corrects the inconsistency by clarifying that all Oregon devices for playing lottery games, including video lottery terminals, are exempt from the federal law and aligns state law with federal law.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Esquivel, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Senate Bill 83, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 135, relating to alcoholic beverages.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 135A. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 135A will authorize the OLCC to require out-of-state manufacturers to obtain a certificate to ship distilled spirits into Oregon. This requirement enables the OLCC to enforce its financial assistance laws against all non-conforming manufacturers. Currently, they can do that with in-state manufacturers. This will provide consistency throughout. Urge your eye support.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cameron, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Matthews, how do you vote? Matthews votes aye. Senate Bill 135A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 140, relating to real estate licenses.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 140. Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 140 comes from Business and Labor with a unanimous yes vote, authorizing the real estate commissioner to penalize a licensed real estate property manager or principal real estate broker if the licensee fails to produce inspection records related to the management of rental real estate. Establishes a penalty of $1,000 per day with a maximum penalty of $10,000. Allows any real estate licensee to form a business entity for the purpose of receiving compensation or real estate transaction. Authorizes real estate commissioner to issue limited licenses to real estate brokers, property managers, and sole practitioners. Removes requirement that the publication of disciplined licensees contain the address of the licensee. Clarifies that only a principal real estate broker, property manager, or sole practitioner may operate under registered business names and established branch offices. The bill results from a collaborative effort among advisory groups and working groups, including representation from the Real Estate Agency, Oregon Association of Realtors, property managers, and others among the real estate brokerage industry. Good bill should pass. I urge your vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Schaffler, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bailey, how do you vote? Bailey votes aye. Representative Roblin votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Schaffler votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Senate Bill 140, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 330, relating to voter pamphlet.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 330A. Representative Girard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The procedures for filing a complaint alleging violations of election laws are contained in ORS 260.345. Any elector suspecting violations of election laws or rules may file a written complaint with any filing officer. And upon receipt of a complaint, the Secretary of State's office must examine the complaint immediately to determine if a violation has indeed occurred. In the case of an alleged violation involving the Secretary of State's office, then the Attorney General receives and investigates the complaint. This bill doesn't change any of the existing rules. It only and simply requires the state initiative and referendum voters pamphlet to include the procedures for filing a complaint alleging violation of election laws. So no changes in the laws. It just puts it in the voters pamphlet so people know what the procedure is.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Garrard, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Springer, how do you vote? Springer votes aye. Senate Bill 330A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 571, relating to fish.
The question now rises upon third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 571A. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 571A comes to you from your Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources and Rural Committees, where it passed out, with committee with unanimous vote. This bill establishes that releasing or attempting to release any live fish in a body of water that was not taken from that body of water without a permit is either a Class C felony if the violation is committed intentionally and knowingly, or a Class A misdemeanor if the violation is committed recklessly or with criminal negligence. It requires that the State Fish and Wildlife Commission revoke a convicted person's angling license and tags. It prohibits a convicted person from obtaining or possessing an angling license or tag for 5 years. The bill also allows the commission to institute a suit to recover the damages. The bill requires that the damages awarded be in the amount necessary to return the body of water to its condition prior to the violation, as well as the attorney fees. With increasing regularity, illegal transportation and introduction of fish have become a problematic throughout the state, the most notable example being illegally introduced tui chub into Diamond Lake, where a world-class rainbow trout fishery was destroyed in just a few years. Resort owners and local business lost millions of dollars in revenue, and restoration efforts cost millions more. However, the problem is not just confined to Diamond Lake. Illegal introductions of fish into Davis Lake, Grand Prairie Reservoir, and Antelope Flat Reservoir have decimated what were once world-class trout fisheries. Most illegal introductions reduce angling opportunity and may cause harmful environmental impacts and often have devastation economic impacts at the state and local level. It took several years to get the state and federal permits to treat Diamond Lake to remove the tui chub. We believe that Senate Bill 71 will go a long way towards deterring people from illegally transporting, reducing these fish into the waters. A couple issues, colleagues, have come up regarding some definitions. One is intentionally and knowingly. The other one is recklessly and criminally. I did not try to look those up. Those are in statute. If you want to know specifically what it says, you can look those up. A couple other issues that came up was specifically which fish that can you really, in reality, still legally buy and use. We'll go back to Aquarius species means those fish legally acquired and sold in the pet store trade for use as home aquaria, except game fish, sturgeon, state or federally protected, threatened, or endangered species, and those species listed as prohibited or controlled. And as far as the bodies of water are, aquaria are any tanks, pools, ponds, bowls, or other controlled containers intended for incapable of holding or maintaining live fish, and from which there is no outfall to any waters of the state. Ask your support of the bill. It's a good bill. There's a lot of costs involved in protecting our streams and lakes.
Further discussion? Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, in my lifetime, we have poisoned Hyatt Lake in my region twice. We have problems in Howard Prairie with bass and catfish being in with trout. We had the Diamond Lake fiasco. The list goes on and on and on. Willow Lake is now in danger of being eradicated with its sports fish in there now due to bass introduction. So, colleagues, the harder we can make this on people, the better off this state is, and I strongly urge support for this bill.
Further discussion, Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier?
Yes, fine.
The carrier yields.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Representative. We talked about this before. Can you clarify for me in that definition of aquaria, would Oregonians still be able to put koi fish or other live fish into a garden pond or some other type of private pond in their landscaping?
Yes, they would. It's covered under those because it talks about those that are sold in pet stores and are not prohibited by state or federal law, and they do qualify.
Thank you very much.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Krieger, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Cannon votes aye. Representative David Edwards votes aye. Senate Bill 571A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 595, relating to veterans and declaring an emergency.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 595. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 595 expands waivers of tuition at Oregon University System institutions and Oregon Health and Science University for qualified students of service members who died on active duty, died as a result of a military service connected disability, or is 100% disabled as a result of a military service connected disability. Qualified student means a child with certain age restrictions, a spouse or the unremarried surviving spouse of a service member would be eligible. This body in 2008 passed legislation that limited this program to only those service members who met the aforementioned criteria after September 11, 2001. Senate Bill 595 expands the program to service members and their qualified students regardless of the date of the disability.
Is there further discussion? Representative Barnhart.
Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did not hear, you may have said it, but I did not hear in your opening what the position of the institutions of higher learning and Oregon Health and Sciences University is on this bill.
The institutions did not oppose the bill. One of the questions before has been about community colleges. Community colleges are not included in this, but they are participating in the program, and they do not expect this to have a substantial financial impact.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Maurer, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Harker, how do you vote? Harker votes aye.
Senate Bill 595, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 775, relating to ballot titles.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 775. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 775 does a very simple change that came about, the requirement for which came about when the voters instituted a new constitutional amendment regarding HJR 15, which allowed the double majority to come off of all elections held in November and May, the May and November elections. They passed that bill. Previous to that, the only election that did not have the double majority was the November election, and we wrote a statute for that previous constitutional change, which stated that in those elections not being in November, the following message would be put in the first in the ballot title summary. This measure may be passed only at an election with at least 50% voter turnout. So that's the way it was. They then elected to say we can have the double majority does not take effect on May and November elections. So we needed to go back and change the statute, which put that on every election except the November election. So what this bill does is it clarifies that that statement will not be on the May or the November elections, because that puts it in compliance with the new constitutional requirement that the double majority does not apply on those two dates. That's all it does. Good bill. Should pass. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Roblin, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger, how do you vote? Berger votes aye. Representative Shields votes aye. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Beyer votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 775, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 802, relating to distilled liquor.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 802A. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The OLCC has the authority currently to issue special events licenses to wineries and other growers. These licenses allow somebody to sell wine or cider at events such as a wedding at over 300 people. However, in order for distillery licenses to provide similar activities at an event, they must apply for a temporary sales permit. This bill extends the special events license privilege to distillery licensees. It's a good bill. I urge its aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barton, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 802A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 937, relating to disabled person parking permits.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 937A. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this law tightens some regulations around the issuance of disabled parking permits. Currently, in order to receive a permit, applicants must present a certificate from a licensed medical professional stating that they have a disability. But in order to renew a permit, all that is required is for the permit holder to say they continue to qualify. As a result, there's a lot of fraud in the system. Permits are no longer needed. They are being sold, lost, stolen. A permit may belong to a deceased relative. They're being used. They're being borrowed. And I can tell you that when I had a retail printing operation, regularly I had people come in and say, oh, I want you to just color copy this little blue permit thing so we have an extra one around the house. I had to train staff not to do that. So this is a simple bill that says that when you renew your license, if you have one of these permits, you have to bring another note from the doctor saying that you retain that disability. Then your permit is issued and you can go forward. Believe me, the disabled community would be very grateful for this because they don't like the fraud and abuse of this system any better than anyone else. I urge an aye vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, do you wish to close? She does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Senate Bill 937A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 117, relating to dentistry.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 117A. Representative Maurer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Senate Bill 117 adds to the already extensive list of exceptions of who can own a dental clinic. Unlike all other medical professions in Oregon, dentists hold a monopoly on who can own dental clinics. Given my reservations about the current situation, this bill is in fact necessary to ensure that students at Portland State University and at the University of Oregon have appropriate access to dental care. Therefore, I urge your support of Senate Bill 117.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Maurer, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who have the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote?
Aye.
Gilliam votes aye. Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Representative Wisnett, how do you vote? Wisnett votes aye. Representative Stigler, how do you vote? Stigler votes aye. Representative Comp, how do you vote? Comp votes aye. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Jensen votes aye. Senate Bill 117A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 218 relating to crime victims compensation program benefits.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 218A. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill. Colleagues, Senate Bill 218A comes to you from your Committee on the Judiciary, where it passed unanimously. The bill increases the eligibility and award amounts for crime victims compensation. It increases the claim period for homicide from 3 to 5 years. It adds a benefit for victims whose offenders are in appellate process and parole board hearings. It removes the prohibition on compensation for those living with or related to a perperpetrator. Colleagues, Senate Bill 218A has no fiscal or revenue impact. It is a good bill and deserves your aye vote.
Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Barker, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Kotek votes aye. Representative Thompson, how do you vote? Thompson votes aye. Senate Bill 218A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. In the interest of the hour, colleagues, the chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's third reading of Senate Bill's calendar be carried over to their proper place on Thursday, May 21st, 2009's third reading calendar, with the exception of Senate Bill 479, because I'll have another motion on that in a moment. So the chair requests unanimous consent, again, that the rules be suspended and all bills except Senate Bill 479 on today's third reading calendar be carried over to their proper place on Thursday, May 21st, 2009's third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and consideration of Senate Bill 479 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Thursday, May 21st, 2009's calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business of the House, other business of the Senate, orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus directly after floor session for about 15 minutes.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Democrats, please grab your lunch. Meet me in the caucus. We have about an hour's worth of work to do, and the sooner we get started, the sooner we can get to committees. Thanks.
Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, the Higher Education Caucus will meet tomorrow morning, bright and early, at 7:30 in 360 on the House side, and the Chancellor will be available, so encourage your participation. Thank you.
Representative Cameron, are you intentionally in the announcement queue again? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, great response to love boxes that we're going to be packing tomorrow. Thank you for your challenge, Representative. We have now 145 boxes sponsored with postage. Make your checks out to the U.S. Postmaster, and I think the top challenge so far has been 15 from one office. So,
any further announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Maurer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On everybody's desk today was a little postcard, and on the front of it says, the best door in all of Oregon, which is kind of unusual, big, gigantic bronze door. In Grants Pass this last Monday, we opened a brand new park and a brand new restaurant that employed a new restaurant that is employing 130 people. Opened up on Monday, this is a landmark restaurant, and not one single dime of public dollars was involved to create a brand new park and create 130 new jobs in Grants Pass, Oregon. Urge your commitment to come to Grants Pass and enjoy the great food at the Tap Rock restaurant. Thank you.
Further remonstrances, Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a comment on regarding my vote on Senate Bill 83. Couple of things. One is I did not win Powerball last night, and I'm very disappointed. But I voted no on that bill because it has to do with video poker run by the state of Oregon. It's estimated that 76,000 Oregonians are addicted to gambling, and 70% of those are the result of state-run video poker. That's why I voted no.
Further remonstrances, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this week in Newsweek, their Washington Beltway opinionator, George Will, issued what can only be described as a laughable attack against our way of life. He criticizes the transportation secretary, a former Republican congressman, for having a 21st century vision of transportation and for using what he calls the P word, Portland, as an example. Now, if George Will were to ever leave his freeway-encircled haunt in Washington and come out to the Rose City, he might realize that he's living in the past. Another P word. Now, what P word did he really mean? Was it planning? The metro region is one of the best planned and most efficient places in America, where we've been able to absorb population without increasing driving by nearly as much. Strike one. Does the P word mean progress? We have a city that gives people a choice in how they want to live and get around in their pursuit of the American dream. Strike two. Or does the P word mean popular? People and businesses from around the nation have voted with their feet for Portland. Strike three. Or is the P word really for our national pastime, of which the author is so fond? Maybe George Will ought to stick to baseball, colleagues, because on creating a future for America, he's struck out.
Further remonstrances, Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, last month, unfortunately, Oregon lost an additional 9,500 jobs. And unfortunately, that continues to make us a national leader in unemployment. We do need to give Oregonians some hope. Unfortunately, we have not done that. The Main Street Plan, which was introduced, creates an opportunity for average Oregonians, homeowners, business owners around the state, an opportunity to make improvements to their property. In turn, that action creates in excess of 6,000 jobs, increases local property taxes and revenue to struggling local governments. Counties, contractors, business owners, chambers, financial institutions, business associations, and many, many, many individuals from around the state have given their support to the Main Street Plan. The plan creates jobs and economic stimulus activity across Oregon without government debt. Colleagues, we can't rest on the meager results of the stimulus plan that was passed through this building. More is needed. With unemployment in excess of 12%, what action will we take? Another incredibly important point about the bill that has been introduced is that there is zero cost to the state if people don't engage in the projects. No projects, no jobs, no cost. Unlike the stimulus legislation that currently encumbers us to the tune of millions of dollars in debt service every year, whether it creates job one or not. Oregonians need jobs. We've done little to provide them. House Bill 3095 was never meant to be a comprehensive plan to fix the economy, but it would have been a great piece of legislation, a piece of the puzzle that we need to put together to provide hope and jobs for Oregonians. I'm highly disappointed that once again this body has said no to the face of the 260,000 plus Oregonians out of work today.
Further remonstrances, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I have some good news, and it involves jobs, but the best news we got yesterday was that NOAA has agreed to give $4 million, give or take a few dollars, to David Evans' company to start work on the seafloor mapping project. And this happened a day after we heard about it from our co-chairs, and so we know for a fact they were watching us. And I wanted to thank all of you who helped us lobby for this with our own, within our own house and within NOAA. And the fact that we are moving forward on this is going to mean jobs for people on the coast. As a matter of fact, it's happened so fast they're scrambling to gather sonar and boats, et cetera, and we'll be working probably up into October on this. But this is very good news for Oregon. It allows us to move forward. Their part is going to be a little bit different than what Oregon State Lab does. They will be taking on a navigational chart update and some of the deeper water mappings. Very, very exciting news. Just wanted to share.
Thank you, Representative Boone. Further remonstrances, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I just wanted to stand and thank this body for the unanimous vote on House Joint Resolution 7, something I didn't add in my testimony on this bill. Was the constituent that brought this forward to me was Robert Bushman, a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force Reserve. And he actually served in Vietnam from 1969 until 1973, and also served in active reserves and temporary active duty between 1985 and 1997. Over 30 years, and didn't qualify for a loan. Just wanted to put a face on what we just did and thank the body very much. I can't wait to let him know that this was a unanimous vote from this body and that he did this not for himself but for forever other Vietnam vets in his situation. Thank you so much.
Any further remonstrances? Seeing none. Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10:15 a.m.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until May 21st, 10:15 a.m., May 21st, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m., Thursday, May 21st, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned.